اقتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لقاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: فلله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. وقال أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب عليه الصلاة والسلام في لا عز أعز من التقوى، وقال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الله فوض إلى المؤمن أموره كلها ولم يفوض إليه أن يذل نفسه. المؤمن أعز من الجبل، فإن الجبل يستقل منه المعادن، وإن المؤمن لا يستقل من دينه شيء. صلوات صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have been discussing the subject of مكارم الأخلاق, the exalted spiritual attributes and moralities of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam in these majalis, which are considered to be an icon to identify the divine personalities, because all those who represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those who are the perfect humans, all those who are a reflection of the attributes of Allah, will have highest of the moralities and will be known and recognized through these moral attributes. Actually, we learn in the light of the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that every prophet, Allah made such an arrangement that every prophet was being recognized with these two fundamental moral attributes, which are صدق الحديث and أداء الأمانة. That means truth telling and taking care of the amanat and trusts which are entrusted to them. Because all the moral attributes defined in the Islamic knowledge, of Islamic morality, get back to these two fundamental points. Every moral value that we discuss has to return back to these two fundamental attributes. That's why we laid down so much emphasis on the fact that we have to have Sidqul Hadith and Adaul Amana, always telling the truth and taking care of amanat and trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which inshaAllah, I guess the last speech or the second last speech of mine will be on the subject of amanat, which is one of the most important values among the value system of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So, we have been stopped by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. If you would like to judge the personality of a person, you're not supposed to look at his prayers, look towards his prayers or fastings. لا تنظروا إلى طول ركوع الرجل وسجوده. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, do not look at the length of his ruku and his sajda. وَكَثْرَةِ صَلَاتِهِ, an abundance of his prayers, وَصِيَامِهِ أَوْ صَوْمِهِ, abundance of his fastings, and hajj that he may perform. Do not look at those things. If you want to judge the personality of a person, you are stopped, you are being prohibited to look at these worships. فَإِنَّ ذَلَكَ شَيْءٌ قَدْ اَعْتَادَهُ. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, maybe a person is doing all this out of habit. A lot of people are praying and fasting out of habit. They don't have the sense of responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are doing it out of habit. فَلَوْ تَرَكَ اِسْتَوْحَشَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. If he quits doing all these things, he will feel worried. He will be afraid, he will feel bad, he will feel upset about it, but today I did not pray. Just because he was doing the prayers out of habit. People borrow money from someone, people loan money, give the money to somebody, and the guy didn't return back the money. Now they come up and say, well, Maulana, he was a very nice person, he used to appear in the Jamaat, in the Jummah prayers, in the first stop always, he used to attend the majlis, he has done the hajj, he went three times for umrah, and that's why I trusted him. And this guy deceived me. Well, these were never considered to be the criteria to judge a person. As a matter of fact, we have been stopped clearly by the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen and other Imams in their hadith not to consider these points to be a criteria to judge the person's personality. Instead, we are supposed to look at the same two fundamental attributes which we have been discussing. وَلَكِنْ أُنْظُرُوا. Instead, look at إِلَى صُدْقِ حَدِيثِهِ وَأَدَاءِ أَمَانَتِهِ. Look at his صُدْقُ الْحَدِيثِ. That means whenever a person talks, does he always tell the truth or not? وَأَدَاءِ أَمَانَتِهِ. Does he always take care of all the amanat and entrusted things or not? These are the two fundamental criteria to judge a person. No one on earth can say, I tell the truth because I'm habituated, I have the habit of telling the truth always. No. The knowledge of akhlaq in Islam informs us that telling the truth can never be done out of habit. Taking care of the amanat and entrusted things of Allah, all those divine things that God has entrusted into our hands, that we are supposed to take care of all those trusts, which are entrusted to us, which we will discuss later on inshallah, no one can take care of those entrusted things out of habit. Instead, for each and every instance, we need to have sense of responsibility towards Allah to take care of those two duties. And that's why they are considered to be the criteria to judge a person. And every prophet was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged that he was being proven to have sifkul hadith, truth-telling, wa ada'ul amana, taking care of all the divine entrusted things, before he became mab'oof, before he was commanded by Allah to start his propagation officially. People of his nation recognized every prophet with these two attributes. And the same is the case which is true in the favor of our beloved holy prophet. So, that's why we have to understand the importance of these two attributes. And I already told you that in the Arabic language the word sadiq is a sifatul mushabbaha. It's not ismi fa'il. That means a person, if he tells the truth for once or twice or five times or 10 times, in Arabic we cannot call him sadiq. Because in Arabic we cannot call him ameen. In Arabic, these two words can be applied on a person if he never, ever, ever tells anything other than the truth. Then can he be called Sadiq. And that's what Islam is propagating. That's what Islam is asking us to be. And one of those moral exalted attributes which is the subject of tonight's speech is the concept of izzat and dignity and honor in Islam. That's the subject of my speech tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Holy Quran that all the izzat and honor belongs to Allah and the Messenger and the believers. So first of all, we need to understand the fact then no one enjoys honor and dignity. No one can claim that I am an honorable person other than whom Allah has awarded with dignity and honor. Respect comes from Allah. If we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are respectable. It really doesn't matter whether the people out there in the society consider us to be respectable or not. You're not going to take any reward or any medal from the people. You're not serving the people. You don't stand for the people. Islam considers that the dignity and honor has to come from Allah. Whomsoever Allah respects and honors is honorable. Whomsoever Allah disrespects is dishonored. Regardless of what the society does towards him. Society has their own criteria. You are what you drive. You are as much money as you make. Your money defines your personality in the materialist society. Who cares? In Islam, the dignity and honor rests on the concept of our iman. If we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have iman in the Day of Judgment, if we have iman and faith in all the belief system of Islam, then we are dignified and honorable and respectable. Otherwise not. And there is a fine line between izzat and takabbur in ilm al-akhlaq, like there is a fine line between zillat and tawadhu. Izzat means honor, and takabbur means arrogance. Not, we have to distinguish when it is called izzat and when it is called arrogance. Which is haram in Islam to have arrogant behavior. And zillat means insult, being insulted. And tawadhu, which means humbleness, being down to earth. And we should not make mistake in distinguishing between these two things. Once we find that a person said to Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and this kind of and this kind of hadith we also have about Imam Hussain alayhi salam. A person objected on the Imam and said that you are mutakabbir. Na'udhu billah, you are arrogant. Imam replied, Bal fiyya izzatun. Rather, what is found in me is izzat and honor. That's not arrogance. So So we have to be very precise in making sure and distinguishing the fine line between izzat and arrogance. Sometimes we may make mistakes in distinguishing. Izzat in Arabic is defined in the, if you look at the literal meaning of the word izzat and honor, it means the hard and the tough soil, the hard and tough places of the earth where it's hard to dig. Whereas rikhwa, which is the opposite of izzat, we call it to that part of the soil which are very soft and anybody can easily dig and go through and penetrate. So those parts of the earth which are so hard, like stones and mountains, which are so hard, even if you try to dig in, you cannot dig, you cannot break through, you cannot go into. Those parts of earth are called, literally speaking, they are considered to be having izzat in the literal meaning of the word. And the reason why a mu'min is considered to be aziz, always if he is a mu'min, because no matter what happens on earth, his faith can never be penetrated into. And no one can penetrate into his faith and iman. So he's so hard and stiff when it comes to his faith. Actually, that's the definition of iman. What my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, was defining the iman in the dictionary of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Iman is defined as ja'lul mu'taqab fil amn. Putting your faith in a secured place. That means no matter what happens around you, whether you lose your job, whether you gain good job, make good money, get a good job, whether your son gets ill, whether your daughter gets ill, your son passes away, you have children, you don't have children, no matter what happens to you in your life, as far as your faith is concerned, nothing can harm your faith. Regardless of what situation you may go through in your life, if that is the case, then you have iman. That's the definition of iman. جَعْلُ الْمُعْتَقَدْ فِي الْأَمْنِ. Putting your faith in a secured place, in a protected place. That means the situations and conditions and the turmoils and crises that you may face in this material life have nothing to do with your faith. Faith is something which is above and beyond all this. If that's the case, then you are a mu'min. If every problem that you may face in your life has an impact to its own extent on your faith, sometimes you get shaken, sometimes you start complaining against Allah, sometimes you become upset. If that is the case, then we are heavy iman. Because every situation that may happen on the face of earth has an impact on our faith. And we are always vulnerable to lose or to get our faith weakened because of situations on earth. This is not called iman. It is contrary to the concept of izzat and honor and dignity and the strength and harshness and stiffness that a mu'min is defined with this attribute in Islam, that a mu'min is always aziz. That he is so stiff and hard when it comes to his iman and faith. That he is uncompromising and unbending. This quality of a mu'min being uncompromising to the values of his faith entitles him to be called aziz and honorable in the eyes of Allah. So, our honor and izzat takes its roots from taqwa, takes its roots from ubudiyyat of Allah, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we perform in our life, we perform it for the sake of Allah, sincerely for His cause. And that is what we learn from the hadith of Amir Mumin al-Salam, where he says that kafa bi izzan an takuna li rabba. Addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ali says, this izzat and honor is enough for me that you are my Lord. وَكَفَى بِفَخْرًا أَنْ أَكُونَ لَكَ عَبَّا. And this matter of pride is enough for me that I am your servant. Me being servant of yours and you being lord of mine. That's enough for Amir Mumin al-Islam. So he says, Mali Aliyin wa Na'imin Yasna wa Lazzatin La Tabqa. What Ali has to do with those ni'mat and blessings of Allah which are temporary, wa Na'imin wa Lazzatin La Tabqa, and those of the pleasures which are not going to remain? Which means that Imam Ali is not even ready to get attached to even the birth of the blessings of Allah, which are temporary in nature. As those of the pleasures provided by Allah, which are temporary in nature and which are not going to last forever. He's not even ready to buy those of the blessings and get attached with them. He's all for those blessings of Allah which are eternal. Look at the choices. Look at the high level of moralities and criteria that Imam Ali al-Islam has set for us. And he says that Ala hurrun yada'u hadhihi al-lumadhata bi ahliha. If they are really free, if they are free person on earth, who can leave this lumadha for those who deserve it? Lumadha in Arabic means death and those particles of food after you eat food and you chew the food, those particles of food which remain between your teeth. You chew the food and there are some particles that remain in your gums, between the teeth. Those are the particles of the food that the earlier generations living on earth have chewed up this dunya. And they have been stuck with this world, and with the love of this world, they went after this world, they worshipped this world, they chewed this world, and the remainder of this dunya around us is, in the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen, equal to those few particles that remain in between our teeth, in our gums, after chewing a food. So this dunya has been chewed by the previous generations, they got attached to it, and now what is remaining in front of us is just like the remainder. They are inviting the rest of the humanity to come up. قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ. Say that come up so that I would read on you what your Lord has made haram on you. The Prophet is asking us to come up. And the word تَعَالَوْ in Arabic is used at a place when your audience is standing at a lower place and the speaker is standing on a higher place. So he's inviting his audience standing at a lower place to come up and get elevated. If the speaker and the audience are standing on the same level, you never use the word ta'ala in Arabic. Instead we use ilayya. The Quran does not say ilayya when talking about the Prophet inviting the people. Quran does not say ilayya here. Quran says ta'ala, قُلْ ta'ala, say to the people, come up. So this means the Prophet is standing way high. And I say, only the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are standing at the highest level already. And now they are inviting the rest of the humanity to come up, get elevated, leave all these material attachments behind. You know the reason why we find the Sakarat al-Maut, And the time when, at the time of death, when the angel of death arrives, it's so hard for the people, when the soul is taken out of the body, they feel so much pain, so much has been said in different riwayat and narrations about different pains and problems that a person goes through in the final moments. Why do we find a person sees all those pains in the final moments? One of the reasons that our scholars of Akhlaq have mentioned is that the angel of death, the Malakul Maut, while he wants to take the soul out of the body, he has to detach all the attachments that we have gained throughout our 50, 60, 70 years of life. All those attachments that we acquired throughout our life with the material world and its material blessings, and we get so much attached to it, and that blessings which blocks our performance of duty towards Allah. That much love of money, that much love of the material belongings which do not allow us to do our duty towards Allah is considered to be hubbud dunya and the love of dunya. Dunya is not that, it's created by Allah. The attachment towards the material belongings is haram, is the biggest haram in Islam. So why it's hard for some people to go through in the final moments when their soul is taken out? Because the angel of death
while taking the soul out, he has no other way except to detach all those attachments first. He's going to detach, and then he can take the soul out from this material world to the metaphysical world. That's the way it is. As long as it is attached, how can he take out attachments? The love of dunya, the love of money, the love of positions, the love of fame, hubba shuhrat, hubba jah, hubba mal, hubba dunya, all different kinds of loves and deceptions of Satan, which would deceive the people, different people to different kinds of deceptions, whatever is applicable and suitable according to the status of that person. Using the same kind of deception for that person as and as much appropriate. So the angel of death has to detach all that love of dunya and all those attachments that we have gained. He will have to detach it, and that's how he can take the soul out. Otherwise, as long as it is connected with the dunya, how can he take it out? That's why he feels so much pain. And that's why the awliyaullah, the beloved people of Allah, they love to die for the sake of his cause. Because they don't have any attachment with this world. Well, Imam Ali al-Islam has already said in Nahdul Balagha, talking about the Muttaqeen, that they are the ones, لَوْلَا الْآجَالُ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لَمَسْتَقَرَّتْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَبْدَانِهِمْ فَرْفَقَعَيْنْ. If the fixed time of death was not there, their souls would not have remained in their bodies for the, you know, for the blinking of an eye. Even for the shortest possible duration, the souls would not have lived in the bodies. You know, the souls are already attached to the metaphysical world, which is their hometown. And that's why they find satisfaction. They were never attached to this material world. So the pious people they live in this world with their bodies only. Their souls are not attached to this world. This is all about our iman and faith, which makes us mu'azzaz and respectable in the eyes of Allah. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam has said that من أراد عزا بلا عشيرة وهيبة بلا سلطان فليخرج من ذل معصية الله إلى عز طاعته. Whosoever wants dignity and honor without a big family and tribe. Because, you know, those people who have big, huge families and big tribes backing them, it's a matter of dignity. People consider it to be a matter of dignity that now a person has a big tribe to support him. Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, someone who wants to become honorable without having a tribe and a huge number of relatives to assist and support and back him, and someone who wants to have majesty without any governance, without any government, without any charge or control, he still wants to have majesty and help us. In other words, actually majesty is not the correct translation of haybat. He should get out of the situation of the ma'asiyat of Allah, the sin, and go towards the situation and the honor of the ita'at and obedience of Allah. So we gain the izzat and honor when we get out of the sins and go into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And izzat, brothers and sisters, we in Islam are supposed to have izzat concept applied in three cases. The first is about izzat. We are supposed to have izzat and dignity in the sense that we are not supposed to ask anything from the people. That's the first place where we are obliged to do this. We have been stopped over and over again in different ahadith that we should not ask the people. طلب الحوائج إلى الناس استلاب للعز. Amir Mumin al-Islam says, asking your hajat from the people is just like taking your izzat and honor away when you are insulting your own self. And Prophet has said, من كان عنده قوت ثلاثة أيام, someone who has the food for 3 days and he still asks from the people, on the day of judgment, this guy will be resurrected with bones without flesh. Those people who beg and ask from the people,
This is something which is extremely condemned in Islam. You're supposed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His representatives. Because asking His representatives is equal to asking Allah. You're not supposed to turn to the regular people. Some people came to the Holy Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us to the paradise. And Prophet said that I will do that with one condition. And that is, never ask anything from the people. If you don't ask anything from the people, you turn to Allah and His representatives. That's the way, certainly you will go to the paradise. So, it's very much condemned in Islam to turn to the people. But people themselves, what can they do for you? People themselves are needy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His representatives. What can they do for anybody? That was the seerah of Ahlul Bayt. They never turned to the people. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was present in the Kaaba in Masjidul Haram, and of course the Sadaq, the garden of Sadaq, which was usurped from Ahlul Bayt, from Hazrat Fatima and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. One of the persons came to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam while he was there close to Kaaba and said to him, well, you know, Hisham ibn Abdul Malik is here, the ruler is here right now. Why don't you ask him to, at least, why don't you request him to give your garden of Sadaq back to you, Ahlul Bayt? And look at the response of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Look at the difference in our perspective and their perspective, the perspective of Ahlul Bayt. He says that, وَيْحَكَ أَفِي حَرَمِ اللَّهِ أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. You want me to, in the haram of Allah, I should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something other than Himself? That in the haram of Allah, no one should ask anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What to talk of asking about the garden? How? They don't stand in need of those few trees. Imam Ali al-Islam, did Imam Ali al-Islam say to God in that in the fourth case when he got the Khilafat and government, Khilafat al-Zahiri back in his hands, did he say to God in that? Of course not. They are Sahi ibn Sahi and Kareem ibn Kareem. They don't require those few trees. The garden of Sadaq was entirely related to the concept of walayat and imamat and Khilafat of the 12 Imams. And that is the reason why it was awarded to Ahlul Bayt by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Imam Ali didn't take it back. Now that he has got the government, he does not really need those few trees. He doesn't even take it back. And that's the reason why we find in the time of Harun al-Rashid that he offers once to Imam Qasim alayhi salam that I am ready to give the garden of Sadaq back to you. Please define the boundaries of that garden which was located in the outskirts of the city of Medina that was usurped from you, Ahlul Bayt. I am ready to return it back to you now. Imam Qasim alayhi salam avoided. But later on when he insisted, Imam Qasim alayhi salam started defining the boundaries of all the entire empire and government of Harun Rashid, which extended all the way to Iran and even northern parts of Iran and Afghanistan and all the parts of the northern Africa and which is right now Saudi Arabia, the whole empire, instead of talking about those few trees which were located in the outskirts of the city of Medina. So Harun Rashid said, oh, so actually you people want the whole government, not just the garden. So that's why Imam Qasim alayhi salam was not ready to, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why that he was not ready to talk about that matter before. Because he knew what would be the reaction of Harun Rashid when he understands. So the whole concept of the garden of Sadaq was not actually related to the garden only. It is directly related to the entire concept of Imamat, because Medina was a very small city. And then Prophet gave this garden to Hazrat Fatima. This garden belonged to the Ahlul Bayt. And there were a lot of people in this small city who were employed. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the employer who provided employment to so many people in the city. So there, he was
He was giving and providing employment opportunities to the city. He was receiving revenue from the city. He was making money out of that garden. And that's why he was financially and economically strong, so that his government becomes strong, because economics and politics can never be separated from each other. And that is precisely why the garden was taken back and usurped from Imam Ali alayhi salam, because they wanted to jeopardize his financial strength, so that his government and walayat and imamat is jeopardized automatically. So, it's a matter of izzat of Islam. The first thing, you're never supposed to turn to the people. And in another riwayat, we find Imam Sajjad al-Islam is doing tawaf and walking in front of the Tahus ruler of Banu Umayyah and not paying attention to him. And this guy, he felt sad because he is a ruler. Whenever people see big rulers, you know, they always, set aside, leave the path open so that the ruler, the emperor, can walk easily, you know, with his own majesty. And Imam Sajjad doesn't even pay attention to who is walking behind him with all his entourage. Who cares about Tahut people? And this guy, you know, before I finish the story, once Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam came to ask questions from Imam Ali alayhi salam. And that was a regular routine. Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam used to come over and over again. There are different narrations that he used to come and ask questions from Imam Ali alayhi salam. The same Hazrat Khidr who was the teacher of Hazrat Musa, whom God commanded Hazrat Musa to go and seek knowledge from him. The same Hazrat Khidr used to come and learn from Imam Ali alayhi salam. So the teacher of Hazrat Musa is the student of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Can you compare Imam Ali's highness with that of Hazrat Musa? The teacher of Hazrat Musa is the student of Imam Ali. And sometimes we find that Imam Ali asked Hazrat Khidr to ask the question from Imam Hassan, who was a small child. But there is no difference between Ahlul Bayt, young or old. They have all the same knowledge and all the same ismat. Without a difference. They are all on the same level. Of course, but Imam Ali alayhi salam is superior than all the rest of the 11 Imams. And the Holy Prophet is superior to all of them. But all have the same level of knowledge and all have the same level of ismat. So, Imam Hassan al-Islam replied to the answer, to the question of Hazrat Khidr, and he went away. And one of the questions which I wanted to tell you before I finish that story of Imam Sajjad al-Islam is that Hazrat Khidr came to Imam Ali, and as he was discussing certain, as he was there, Imam Ali al-Islam, he asked, he said that, how great it is, Hazrat Khidr said, how great it is to find the poor people, the rich people expressing their modesty in front of the poor people. مَا أَحْسَنَ تَوَاضُعُ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ How great it is if we find the rich people express their modesty and tawadhu in front of the poor. When Imam Ali heard that remark from Hazrat Khidr, he said that better than this situation is that the poor people express their careless behavior towards the rich people, that we don't care about your money and your richness. This kind of, careless behavior in the sense that we don't even give importance to the money, this kind of careless behavior from the poor coming towards the rich is even more superior than the earlier situation, that the rich people showing their modesty towards the poor. We are supposed to have this. We are supposed to not pay attention to the money of the rich. Those people who pay attention to the material blessings of Allah, actually they take their eyes off the non-material blessings of Allah. That's why the material blessings become big in their eyes. Otherwise there is no reason. There is no reason for a person who considers non-material and ma'navi blessings to be great, which they are great. That's why Muhammad is ready, ready to get across to any of the temporary blessings of this world. He says, Mali Aliyin wa Na'imin Yafna. What has Ali to do with those blessings of Allah which are bound to be destroyed? Those which are temporary blessings of this material world. What has Ali to do with them? But we are all, I mean, some people in the society, we are so much attached to the material ones because we don't consider the importance of the non-material blessings which are eternal and longer lasting. So what I was telling you is that Imam Sajjad was available, he is doing tawaf, and the ruler of Banu Umayyah is walking behind. Imam Sajjad is not even paying attention, doesn't even care about who is there. And this guy got upset. Everybody was opening up the way for him so that the ruler can do the tawaf easily. Imam Sajjad doesn't pay attention. So he asked his people, who is this guy walking in front of him? He knew it's Imam Sajjad, but this kind of insult that he says, who is this guy who doesn't pay attention to me? Bring him to me. And Imam Sajjad was brought by his soldiers, and he said to him that, why don't you come over the canal, I mean dunyana, so that you may also get a share from that dunya which Allah has awarded us. And Imam Sajjad al-Islam replied, we are talking about the insult and sharaf, how the moment is unbending. So Imam Sajjad al-Islam, when he heard that remark, he sat down for basata rida'ahu, for jalata alayhi salam wa basata rida'ahu. Imam Sajjad al-Islam sat down there and he spread his rida on the ground and prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma arihi hurmata awliya'ika indaka. O my Lord, show the hurmat and respect of your beloved people, of your awliya in your eyes. How much respect does your awliya, your beloved people, have in your eyes? As soon as Imam Sajjad al-Islam prayed this dua to Allah, his rida, his abaya was full of pearls, glittering and shining, jewels and pearls. إِذَا رِضَاؤُهُ مَمْلُوَةٌ دُرَرًا يَكَادُ شُعَاؤُهَا يَخْسِفُ الْأَبْصَارِ. As soon as he said that statement, the dua of the Imam is always mustajab, always answered momentarily, immediately, and his rida became full of pearls which were glittering and shining and blinding shine. The shine of those pearls was so blinding. And Hisham Abdul Malik got shocked. And then Imam Sajjad al-Islam said, مَنْ كَانَ هَذِهِ حُرْمَتُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى دُنْيَاكَ. Someone who has this kind of hurmat and respect in the eyes of Allah, does he stand in need of your dunya? And then he prayed to Allah, اللَّهُمَّ خُذْهَا فَلَا حَدَّةُ لِي إِلَيْهَا. Oh my Lord, take it back to you, because I don't stand in need of this. Most people who are attached with the ma'nawi blessings of Allah, they don't stand in need of these blessings. They only need as much blessings of God that suffices their needs. That's it. Nothing more. They are asking Allah to take it back. They will accept it. So we find the first place where a woman is supposed to exercise izzat and dignity and honor, which takes its roots in his iman and faith, is about asking from the people. We are never supposed to ask and turn to the people for other hajat. We are supposed to turn to Allah and His representatives. Second thing is at-ta'arrub lima la yutiq. That means holding those positions which we do not deserve. We are supposed to have izzat and dignity and honor, exercise of a dignity and honor in situations like these. We are supposed to take any position which we do not deserve to hold. That's the Islamic law. If you deserve a position, you are eligible for that, you deserve that, you can take it. If you don't deserve it, if you are not eligible, you are not supposed to take the position. Leave the place vacant for those who deserve and those who can do the job. The job of Islam needs to be done. Let us not allow Islam and Islamic mission to suffer for our ego problem, for our love of positions.
which is a sickness and illness of the soul. Some people are so much running after positions in this dunya. They are attached to these positions. This is one of the categories of the love of this dunya. So a bunch of people, and that rewrite has been narrated by our Sunni brothers in their book, a bunch of people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And said that, أَلَا تَسْتَعْمِلُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Don't you, won't you like to give us some positions, use us for some jobs, give us some positions so that we can hold some positions and do some service? And Prophet said that we are those people who never give any position to those who demand it. Those people who come and demand positions, we never give it to them. Positions are given to those who don't demand the positions. And once we find Abu Dhar came and asked the similar kind of question to Rasulullah, he said, Allah tasta'amalini ya Rasulullah, won't you give me any position? Abu Dhar never enjoyed any position. During the time when the Holy Prophet established the first government, Islamic government in Medina, despite the fact that some of our Shias still say that Islam has nothing to do with the government and politics, neglecting the fact that the Holy Prophet is the one who established the first government in Medina, neglecting the fact that all the 12 Imams are Wali and Mawla and rulers for the whole world, appointed by Allah, for the whole universe. But that's the way we are. That's the way we are, because we have a lot of people in our society actually have learned Islam and the religion from unauthentic sources, from some of those illiterate doctors. As long as you learn Islam or anything from an unauthentic source, you can never have peace of mind that you have learned is authentic and correct according to the Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. You can never be sure about it. You've got to learn and understand that point, which is fundamental in its importance. Once and for all, then we need to learn Islam from the authentic source of Islam. Otherwise, there will be no guarantee what you learn is correct. And it's going to backfire us like it has already backfired the Muslims that we have been pressed over centuries. As you turn on the radio or the television, you'll find a bunch of Muslims are killed, a bunch of Muslims are jailed, a bunch of Muslims are tortured, a bunch of Muslims are subjected to a variety of different problems. And we don't care about what's going on. People say, oh, how many people are killed in the death? Oh, 7 people. Oh, thank God, it's not 70. This is our reaction and behavior towards our izzat and of Iman and Islam. So is this izzat and dignity for a Muslim? That every time you turn on the radio, you find a bunch of Muslims are killed and nobody cares about what's going on? Nobody is ready to protest? This respect of the Holy Prophet happened. Some Muslims are not even ready to protest. It's compulsory. You don't believe in violence. You are not doing any violence. Well, isn't it our right to say that this is wrong? A wrong is a wrong? How much immune we have? And that's why some people like vegetarian Mawlanas. Those vegetarian Mawlanas who don't talk about politics. Those are good for us because we don't want to harm our dunya. So we like Vahi Mawlanas. They don't talk about stuff which may be harmful for our love of dunya and our material interests of our jobs with the politicians, the relations we have with senators, with government people. We don't want to harm our dunya in a nutshell. So nothing new. That's the same cause why people betrayed Muslim Na'im. Then stop leaving the world of Ashura at least. Stop cursing those people who betrayed Muslim Na'im in Kufa. Because they were also afraid from the Nizyad, they were also afraid about their material interests. Except those who did the Tawbah later on. We are not talking against them who did the true Tawbah later on. There were some who did the Tawbah. So, what we were discussing, is that Abu Dhar came to Rasulullah and said, Allah tasta'amiluni. Won't you give me any position? Abu Dhar did not enjoy any position in the government of Rasulullah in Medina. Prophet said that, and I look at the akhlaq and morality of the Holy Prophet. He didn't want to give permission to Abu Dharr. Because in his eyes, Abu Dharr, despite of the fact he is on the ninth level of Iman, he does not deserve to have position. Prophet can never take the path of justice and never give illegitimate favor to anybody. And likewise Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Prophet says to him how he puts his point. He says, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ لَكَ مَا أُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي. I love for you, Prophet says to Abu Dharr, I love for you what I love for myself. Look at the morality of the Holy Prophet. And then he says, إِنَّكَ ضَعِيف وَإِنَّهَا أَمَانَةً. You are a weak person, whereas the position is an amanat and trust of Allah. إِنَّكَ ضَعِيف وَإِنَّهَا أَمَانَةً وَإِنَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خِزْيٌ وَنَدَامَةً. And position on the Day of Judgment is a matter of insult and embarrassment. If a person occupies a position and did not do his desired job, this is going to cause an embarrassment and insult for him. The Prophet likes for Abu Dharr what he likes for himself. He doesn't like for himself to be insulted and quit his izzat and dignity and honor in front of Allah. And the same he is wishing for Abu Dharr, if he occupies the position, he may not deserve it. So he's not ready to give any position to Abu Dharr. So the second place where we are supposed to exercise our izzat and honor and dignity so that we do not quit our iman is that we should not hold positions that we do not deserve. And the third place where we are supposed to exercise our izzat and dignity concept of Islam is towards accepting the tahoot and zalim government. A moment is always supposed to be aziz in the third meaning as well, in addition to the first two. And the third meaning is that we never accept any zalim government. That's the fundamental concept of Islam. The whole concept of the 12 Imams is resting on the same idea, because the 12 Imams are Adil and Masoom. And we believe in the leadership of Masoom and Adil. And we can never bow down and accept those who are tahoot and zalim. It's unacceptable in Islam. Look at what Imam Hussain al-Quran has said, that al-haya al-mautu fi izzin khairun, al-mautu fi izzatin khairun min hayatin fi zillatin. That's the Mamur al-Riwayah. That life bound with dignity and honor is better than living with humiliation and insult. He's never ready to accept Yazid for a moment. And how easy it is for us to compromise for that. And the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech from Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, where he has said that in Allah fawwada, for Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in Allah fawwada ila al-mu'mini umurahu kullaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all the affairs in control of the mu'min. Mu'min is awarded all kinds of freedoms. He can eat whatever he wishes to eat within the limits of halal. He can dress up however he wishes to dress up within the limits of halal. He can go and start living wherever he wishes to live within the limits of halal. He can do what he wishes to do within the limits of halal. A mu'min has been awarded every kind of freedom by Allah within the limits of halal. وَلَمْ يُفَضِّضْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. There is one thing in which Allah did not provide more freedom to a mu'min, and that is, he is not supposed to insult himself. The izzat is not ours. Izzat is because we have iman. It's because Allah has awarded us with that izzat. So it's an amanat of Allah. Because we are not supposed to do khiyanat. We are not supposed to do khiyanat towards any of those entrusted things. So that's why it's not our choice that we can accept the zalim ruler or not. It's an insult of Islam and Iman. We're not given choice about this matter. We are given choice about all the matters of our life. We can choose whatever we wish to do within the limits of halal. And in the Western culture, they want to do more. So the Western freedom, quote-unquote, means actually a license to violate the law of the Creator. Because Allah has already given us the rest of the freedoms. If we want to have more freedom, we want to eat more than the limits of halal, that means we want to violate. We want to dress up in ways which are not permitted, we want to violate the law of the Creator. Whatever the Western, in the Western meaning of the word freedom, it means that a human being wants to violate and transgress the limits which are set forth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our Creator. Otherwise, what freedom do you want? All the freedoms are already given to you. Unless if you want to have a license to do haram. And then you want to do it, the haram in the name of freedom. So, Islam does not provide us the choice to accept the zalim or the tahut or to support them in any form. You know, a zalim ruler of Banu Abbas, somebody told him that there's a person in the city who makes the pens. In old days they used to make pens with the wooden pens to write down. So that there's a person, such and such person, who makes nice pens. The ruler, this Abbasi ruler, he invited that person to his palace. The person came, he asked him to make like a couple of good pens for him. The guy went back, he made two pens and he brought in front of the ruler. Then he brought and presented those two pens to the ruler, and he was turning back as he was getting out of the palace, as if somebody said into his mind, somebody recited this verse of Holy Quran, اُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ. Resurrect all those people who did the zulm and their companions and their counterparts. So, as soon as he recalled this ayat of Holy Quran in his mind, he turned back from the gate, from the door of the palace, he turned back to the ruler, and I said to him, please give me those pens back to me. The ruler gave those two pens back to him. And this poor guy, he broke the pens in front of the ruler, and threw it there, and walked away. As he was walking away, the ruler said, why did you do that? He said, because as I was walking out of the door of your palace, as if someone said that ayat of Quran, recited that ayat of Quran, it came in my mind that Allah has said, resurrect those people who did the zulm and all and their counterparts, those who supported them in the zulm. I don't want to make sense for you, the zalim ruler. Tomorrow you write down something haram with this pen, and on the day of judgment, I am resurrected along with you and will be subjected to the same destiny that you would be subjected. Just because of the help that I provided by making a pen with which you would write what you would write. Islam is very specific and very clear about these things when it comes to the support of Tahut. So we need to have izzat. And the speech is coming to an end. You find that Hazrat Usman sent some of his slaves to Abu Dharr and said to the slave, look at the strategy that was adopted to bring Abu Dharr to his side. Abu Dharr was in the opposition. He was a big time opposer, and he did not do the bay'ah, did not accept, always used to oppose. So Usman sent his servant, his slave, to Abu Dharr, and said, if you give the gift to Abu Dharr, if he accepts your gift, I will set you free. The ghulam of Usman came, he met with Abu Dharr, and he told him that, well, this is the gift that Usman has sent for you, so please accept it. He said, no, I'm not going to accept it. He said, well, if you accept it, at least I will be set free. Abu Dharr replied, إِنْ كَانَ فِيهَا إِبْتُكَ فَإِنَّ فِيهِ إِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ إِبْتُكَ فَإِنَّ فِيهِ رِكْتِي. If your freedom lies in my acceptance of this money, this gift, then my slavery is also related to this gift. So I'm not going to make myself slave at the cost of setting you free. I don't want to become slave. On the next morning, when we find that Hazrat Usman,
meets with Abu Zarr the next morning in the street, and he says that, well, we're talking about the same, what he knew the incident, what happened, and he said, he offered again that I'm ready to pay you this, this, and this much money. And Abu Zarr said, that I don't need your money. Yakfi Abu Zarr thiqatuhu billah. His trust, the trust that Abu Zarr has in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for him. He doesn't stand in need of anything else. That's why, this is the trust of Abu Zarr. We find that once the Holy Prophet was sitting and talking to Jibreel, and Jibreel sometimes used to come in the physical form before the Holy Prophet, and Abu Zarr, when he found that somebody is sitting with the Holy Prophet, who knows who is Jibreel, who didn't know, he walked away because he didn't want to disturb the Holy Prophet while he's talking to somebody privately. So he walked away, and that was Jibreel, and Jibreel said to Rasulullah that if Abu Zarr had come here, I would have done salam to him. And there is a dua of Abu Zarr which is famous among the angels of the heaven. There is a dua of Abu Zarr which is famous among the angels of heaven. And then he recited, Jibreel recited that dua in front of the Holy Prophet, which is narrated by Shaykh al-Muhaddithin, Shaykh Abbas Kulli, rahmatullah alayh, that Jibreel said that Allahumma, that this is the dua of Abu Zarr, which is famous among the angels, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-imana bika, wa tasdeeqa bi nabiyyika, wal afiyata min kulli bala, wa shukra ala al-afiyya, wal ghina an shirari nas. I would really like all of you respectable brothers and sisters to learn this dua and maybe read this dua sometimes, because it's a very great dua. These are the teachings that the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the Prophet, which actually are taken from the teachings of Quran. And these are the ones that enlighten our concepts about Quran and Ahlul Bayt. The Izzat concept with a mu'min is considered to be like a mountain, stronger than a mountain, because Imam Ali says a mountain can be dug up, you can dig up a mountain and take out the minerals from it, whereas a mu'min is so aziz, so strong that you cannot take out anything from his faith. The mu'min is stronger than the mountain. Al-mu'minu a'azzu min al-jabal. That's why, see, not in among the Ahlul Bayt in Karbala, we don't find even a small child of Imam Hussein, or any of the Ahlul Bayt, or the Ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You don't even find Hazrat Sakina coming forward and saying to Imam Hussein that, Baba, let's accept Yazid for 5 minutes. Let's accept Yazid, the Tahut, Zalim ruler, for 1 hour, for 1 day. That's wrong. At least I would get some water to drink. How easy we are ready to compromise before the Tahut of today. And still consider ourselves to be such nice women. Just because I have majalis in my house. Just because I go for Riyad and Hajj, and I walk contrary to the concept of the entire 12 months. I'm ready to accept the Tahut. Not even a small child of Imam Hussein or any of the Ashab demanded from Imam Hussein, let us accept Yazid for 1 day to get some food and water. What's wrong about it? This is the difference. Imam Hussein al-Salam had so much love for Hazrat Sakina. So much love for her. And he advised Hazrat Zainab to take care of Hazrat Sakina, although he had love towards all of his children, but specifically Hazrat Sakina, salamullah alayha. And we find once this caravan, because we are now in the days of the Safar of Kufa and Sham, once this caravan was passing by, and the head of Imam Hussein, which was carried over a spear, that spear went into the ground, and it did not move forward, and Shimmer came with his flash, and he started slashing Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, power continues to slash you unless the hand at your father moves forward and rounds the jab, asks his father, what is the matter? And the voice came from the head of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. You know that my daughter Sakina has fallen somewhere in the middle of this trouble. She has fallen somewhere. Imam Sajjad asked Hazrat Zainab to find Hazrat Sakina. Hazrat Zainab her head was tied at her back. I don't know how Hazrat Zainab came off the camel. God knows. Maybe she fell on her face. Or howsoever, I don't know. But her hands were tied at her back. Hazrat Zainab came down from the back of the camel. And now she's walking into the desert and saying, Sakina, you know, where are you, Sakina? She's calling Sakina to find this young baby, young daughter. She went all of a sudden, Hazrat Zainab found that there's a lady who's trodden the hijab, and she's having Sakina in her hand, and she's expressing so much love and affection towards Sakina. Certainly, Hazrat Zainab never saw anybody throughout this travel showing so much love to Hazrat Sakina. Instead, Hazrat Sakina was being slapped. Hazrat Sakina was being tortured in this travel. Now she finds a lady there in the desert, and she's expressing love to this daughter. And Hazrat Zainab went forward and said, will you introduce yourself? Who are you? That you are doing this much love towards this daughter. And Hazrat Fatima, she removed her hijab. Zainab, I am your mother. How come I do not express love towards the daughter of my son?
أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِلَهِي بِحَقِّ الزَّهْرَاءِ وَأَبِيهَا وَبَعْلِهَا وَبَنِيهَا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واقتل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأجد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه لجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين